it's interesting because every time I turn another page on the history of Special Olympics, I learn something new. And I'm counting that that's probably going to happen again in the next 90 seconds.
Okay.
All right. The founding of Special Olympics, there's a lot of controversy. As a matter of fact, I've seen several published articles from some 25 years ago where you say, look, there's a lot of people who deserve credit for this.
Absolutely.
It was not just a few people. And I thought, I thought that was a great display of character. Same point out, this guy and this guy and this guy. But for the sake of today's conversation, it's like three people here, I guess. You, William Freeburg, and Eunice Kennedy?
Shriver.
Right. Well, John F. Kennedy's
sister.
That little cluster seems to be where something magic happened.
Absolutely, Tom. I was down here at Touch of Nature 53 years ago. And this is the first time I'm back.
Oh, really?
Because we're celebrating Dr. Freeburg. And why I'm saying that is because Dr. Freeburg had always been devoted to special needs individuals, people with disabilities, from the time I knew about him. So we were down here as a Chicago Park District employee teaching physical education up in Chicago, and we were going to embark on a new program teaching kids with disabilities, the first time in the United States.
And this is when you came down to check at Dr. Freeburg's camp?
Dr. Freeburg did a special training session for our 10 teachers in the Chicago Park District to teach us how to adapt our physical education skills to people with disabilities. I had never met a retarded person. I was 20 years old at the time, and had never met somebody with a disability like that, because at that time, Tom, as you know, no special education existed. No special recreation existed. The ADA didn't exist. So this was embarking on a new area of education. And most people were not happy about it. They resisted it because these kids were in closets or in institutions. Parents were made to feel guilty about having a child with a disability.
Right.
But bringing them to a park and teaching them a skill actually was something that was unheard of. So we were down here. I never met Dr. Freeburg then. I only heard him speak to our group. And so fast forward to 1967, after I went back to Chicago, started teaching kids with disability, and we wanted to have more children in the Chicago area join our park program. And the president of the park district at the time, Bill McFetridge, said, how do we know how many kids are like this in the city? And we had no clue. And I said, well, let's have a track meet, a citywide track meet. The Park District always put on Pan Am games, citywide track meets, and whatever. So this wasn't something that was out of the ordinary or that I came up with an unheard of idea. The only change was that the idea to have kids with disabilities in a track meet.
Right, was the participation, the participants.
Right. Yeah. And I thought about Dr. Freeburg. So I asked if we could hire him as a consultant, and that was the first time I ever talked to him. He came to Chicago. He liked my idea. He said, I will help you, and he helped me write the proposal to Eunice Kennedy Shriver. He suggested that we write her to get some money. So we had our first games in July of 1968, 50 years ago, this coming July. And after those first games, Mrs. Shriver took the program and made it an international program, and that's why we have 172 countries involved in it today.
But, you know, it seems like the Touch of Nature location was where a lot of this magic happened.
It's the seed. It is absolutely the seed of where it started.
Right. And because there were these summer camps, Touch of Nature, Little Giant, 68, right? You're seeing what's going on, and then you take what you see and you graft it on to another area, just like you would a fruit tree or anything, graft it on, and then that seed and that graft started to spread across this country. And it's interesting because Dr. Freeburg, some of the first degrees in physical education, but see, why do this? That's the part that I find interesting, because I think part of that was his character. Very often, I think you'll find old country boys have a tendency to go, I'm judged by how I treat the least among us.
Absolutely. And that was what I took back from having heard him speak. And I think people who are in recreation, physical education, or even participate in sports themselves have a team spirit. And who is a member of your team is important. And that's what we're trying to do with Special Olympics now, is inclusion. Everybody's involved. Park District, we always had people from the kids from the parks help us with our program, as down a touch of nature. So I think it's the kind of character that team sports and athletics build in people, and especially the teachers of that field.
All right, so today, the special kickoff celebration, you'll be joined by the governor this morning. And that starts at 10 o'clock. There'll be ceremonies which will be honoring the legacy of Dr. William Freeburg. Got some other events going on, the Gala in the Woods tonight.
Gala in the Woods.
Which ought to be a really interesting event. But I think the fact that we honor this, because we have watched this in the 25th anniversary, they celebrated it in Florida. And you took exception to that in an article I read in the Chicago Tribune saying, why are we doing this? And now what I have sensed, now that we've grown up with our own idea, we start to kind of revisit that and go, wait a second, we need to point some of that. We need to get back together again on this. We need to celebrate what we've done, because that celebration gives us a springboard into the next 50 years.
I think it's important, Tom, too, as you pointed out, is to remember where we all came from. And history is an important aspect of that, and I think we forget our history, and that's why we should go back to it.
Well, let's take a look at this history, Justice Burke. 1961, 1968, 1969, the word retarded.
Yes.
All right, you used it earlier, and I even saw you go. You had a little momentary flinch, right? But that was what was used in good company.
Absolutely.
Right? That was the vernacular of the time, so we have to understand it from that. But there was that... that delineation, a very clear delineation between us and them. And sometimes it involved wheelchairs, sometimes it involved in appearance, sometimes was part of verbal skills or the lack thereof. It was behavior, and there was this isolation mentality. But we had more resources at the time in Southern Illinois to deal with that. The Bowen Center in Harrisburg, which has now been turned into a prison, as you're all together
yes.
familiar with. We have kind of come through a funnel. And I think, where would we be today in acceptance of autism had Special Olympics and those type of had not paved a path for acceptance in our communities?
Oh, absolutely. We learned from all of that. And at the time, back to 65, 61, 68, people were afraid of what they didn't know. If you're isolated, and if you're kept isolated, those terms meant something dark and not being able to understand. So bringing those children and people with whatever disability they might have or mental illness into the light makes people understand. And that's what happened with Special Olympics. Special Olympics brought these children to the light, where everybody said, oh, well, they have a disability. And as any gym teacher would say, you have a class of 10 kids, and they all have different abilities in throwing a ball
right.
or jumping. And so it really made no difference what their mental or psychological disability might be. And they could all do the same thing, learn to bowl, learn to play, be part members of the family. So families finally realized their children really had abilities as opposed to a disability. So all of that light has been shining on this population, which I think helps other kinds of disabilities erase the stigma.
I have to agree. I really do, especially in this sensitive category, and with it being kids, of course, as well. Were they going to make a movie about you? Was it Out of the Shadows or something like that?
It's called, I think, Special. We'll see about that. You
yeah.
know the movie industry. They want to do a story about a person who has any idea, any kind of a person has an idea. And if we nurture that person and give that person, you know, an opportunity to try their ideas, anything can happen. So it's really not just about me, but it's about the seed of an idea that started here at A Touch of Nature with Dr. Freeburg.
So did it take a certain fearlessness with Dr. Freeburg and yourself and the Kennedys, because the Kennedys had a special relationship with this type because of a family member.
Yes.
And they know, and especially Joe, they were literally, when you talked about you were put in the closet,
yes.
the Kennedys did that.
Yes, they did.
They did. As a matter of fact, I believe she underwent shock treatment.
Yes, she did.
And I think maybe even a lobotomy.
Yes.
And when you know that, you start, really, you start to understand this. And then the Kennedys come out and put so much time and effort along with Special Olympics to help it get up, and you start to understand why. But what about Doc Freeburg? Why? Why did he do it?
Because his personality was of a caring nature. And, you know, being in the field of physical education and recreation, he was a networker. He was a collaborator, and nobody was ever excluded. And he always, and I mean, people like myself, I didn't even have a college degree. I was a college dropout at that time. And so he didn't care what my academic background was. He just, he knew what I wanted to do, and he encouraged me. He never gave me one word of discouragement. He guided me on what to do next. You should maybe call Mrs. Shriver. You should, and he helped me write the proposal. He used the red ink and corrected my papers, you know. But he was a teacher.
And he was a teacher. And I think you have to look at your expression, your hands, to get that what a teacher is. There are teachers, and then there's a teacher. And he was pretty good with his advice. He'd given me some advice I shared with you earlier on. Boy, if you keep doing this and you don't eat, you're going to die. But he was a guy that you were drawn to.
Yes.
And this gregarious, caring nature was universal. It wasn't just at Touch of Nature. And I find that interesting because I think that you and I would both agree that when you associate people with like that, you feel yourself go up. You feel yourself being lifted up. And I think the people he worked with, too, some people have kind of magic.
He was magic, and he never once discouraged me, as I said before. So that made me feel at age 21, I could do anything. And at age 23, actually, when I first called him about the Special Olympics in 1967, he said, absolutely, go for it. And so I thought, well, if he's telling me, this wonderful man who knows so much about people with special needs, is telling me I should do that, then why not? So there was nothing in my my makeup that prevented me from being worried about it. The only resistance...
You're a believer.
I was a believer, but the only resistance I got was from the public. There was not one person in the stands other than people who were part of a volunteer program, or they were maybe a parent or a guardian for some of the kids who are participating in the first games at Soldier Field. You'll see movies, there's no one there.
And when you go to SIU and we have Special Olympic Games, the volunteers themselves are 400-500 volunteers.
Yes.
Stands that have people in them. Family members that come to support. Community members that come to support. There's a level of acceptance that comes along with this, and community that I think, unless you're there, you probably don't get it. But there's something about how we like our kids, and opening that door and getting rid of the shadows was a legacy that you share. And promoting this across the country, and congratulations, because there are a lot of things you could be known for in life, but helping your fellow man goes into a special category.
Well, it's my honor, and I really am humbled by the fact that these children chose me to be their teacher, and I do believe in that scenario. They chose me. Why I did it, I don't know. I volunteered as a special ed teacher, and the rest is history. But it's a foundation for the rest of my life. It helped me be who I am today.
You knew you could do anything.
I did, and when I
because
finally,
there aren't a lot of female chief justices, I should say, in the United States. There aren't a lot.
No,
you're an elite group.
Yes.
Do you think there's not many women surgeons? See how many women justices there are.
I know.
It's an
elite Illinois
group.
Is great, though. We have 3 women on our 7-person. Court.
That is not typical, isn't it?
It is not typical.
You know, a real pleasure to meet you.
It's a pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
And congratulations. My understanding, they're going to be naming some location after you.
Well, somebody just told me that, and I'll be anxious to hear more about it because I'm not sure.
Did we let the cat out of the bag? Because we announced it this morning. We were told. So.
Well, I know somebody said something yesterday, so you didn't let the cat out of the bag.
Okay, good, because I was going to feel like a schmuck.
No.
So.
Never.
Real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you, Tom.
What can I do to help you while you're here?
Well, come out to the games. Come out to Touch of Nature to see what's going on. And just be as supportive, reaching as many people as you can, because education of people with disabilities is important. And that they're part of our community, contributing members of our community. We need long-term residential care for them.
Yes.
And we need something for them to do the rest of their life after they max out of public schools.
You know, I've been working with a couple of programs, in particular one where we collect paper so that they can use that in recycling so they have extra money. You know, there are these programs around, if you will look. I know we got Heron onto the program as well, and have worked with other communities to make this happen. So it does take a group effort, and they're out there. And, you know, don't look away. That was something in the kid, you just, you know, you just look the other way, right?
Yes.
And now we've grown up. At least we've grown up in one area. We haven't grown up in a lot of areas, but we have in this area.
We sure have. I'm so proud of everybody. If you think back in time that the National Park and Recreation Association would not give us an endorsement for the first games. The Health, Education, and Welfare would not endorse this program. Told me that I was putting these kids on display. Who do I think I am? Well, they eat their words now.
All right. People do things for two reasons, Justice. The good reason and the real reason. That's the one, isn't it?
Yes. And I just think we just didn't educate. People weren't educated. Once they become educated about an issue, they do rise to the level of what they should do.